Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome in to a special edition of the DNVR Draft Podcast, presented as always by DraftKings, who has some updated draft props. You love to see it. Quarterback odds first drafted right now. Use that code DNVR for some amazing Super Bowl offers. Here with my brother, Schwan Man, Jake Schwanitz, on a special Sunday edition. Go through all the all-star games, get our thoughts on Sean Payton, all-timer, man. I've been waiting all week to do this. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of hurting because there's no real football being played this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had the Senior Bowl to get us through, so I'm surviving.
Yeah, the Senior Bowl came in clutch, no doubt. And finally having a coach here to talk about also came in clutch. Sean Payton is our guy, and while we are a draft pod, we always love talking about college football and the best players in college and how they connect to the NFL and all those trends. We're also at our core a podcast about team building and making this huge move for Sean Payton, trading a first rounder, that first rounder the Broncos got for Bradley Chubb, 29th overall in this year's draft, a second rounder next year. So it'll still be another year still before we have a full arsenal of draft picks, getting a third rounder in return, a 2024 third, if I'm not mistaken. Taking me some time to process. I hate losing the picks. I don't want to get too much into the actual search process. That seemed to be a bit of a shit show at times. But ultimately, we always talk about building long term. This is a move to build long term, to have a premier franchise architect and offensive mind and builder in your building, and a late first and a second, which you hope is a little later as well. Not the most outrageous price to give up. What are your initial thoughts on all this, Jake?
I think I've got two main takeaways from this. One is F them picks again. Sean Payton is worth more than, I mean, a guard, a center, a running back, than a lot of positions that the Broncos would have been taken at 30th overall. And then just the value of coaching, man. Sean Payton, one of the brightest offensive minds the NFL has seen in its history. Now he gets to pair up with another quarterback who has fit the archetype of Drew Brees, a little undersized, a guy who may be on the back end side of his career. So I'm expecting Sean Payton to kind of go back to those roots, how he built the Saints. And I think that's the image that we're going to see with this new look Broncos team. But honestly, I'm pumped. I think he was my favorite option to be head coach for multiple reasons, but just because I think he's the best coach out there that the Broncos could have actually got.
The offensive acumen, based on what the Broncos have had in a long while, is huge to have on board. But what you really love of Sean Payton is what you were hinting at, is his track record in building a team. And it allows you to both maximize the talent you currently have, but also have a mind behind the wheel that you trust to build this long term. And how he built the Saints over the last decade, I focused a little more on the post year suspension for Bounty Gate and how he built. It's crazy. The last seven drafts, 2021, all the way dating back to 2015, it's O-line, D-line, Marshawn Lattimore, 11th overall in a trade up, D-line, Davenport, trade up, O-line, Eric McCoy, second rounder, but still their first pick is in the trenches. Another center, Cesar Ruiz, in 2020. Peyton Turner in 2021. It's all in the trenches, which is so fitting to that Parcells coaching tree comes from, which is a real inside out building. Amazing quotes from Coach Prime that you and Ryan were talking about, how Coach Prime's talked about his philosophy is the opposite of that. It may be more of a modern philosophy, especially in the wide open college game. In the NFL, having those big dudes, building in the trenches, having that depth, it all starts with Andres Pete, that run, which is a tackle that he moved in at guard. I think it was also part of maximizing Drew Brees, a veteran quarterback, an undersized quarterback, and having to really protect him up the middle, you know. Lost in that is you have the advantage of Terron Armstead being a third round pick and then being like the best left tackle in the NFL for a nice stretch. So that allows you some freedoms to be a little more aggressive inside. And of course, the other side of this is they were able to find some really talented skill players later on in the draft. Alvin Kamara, Jimmy Graham, Breeze is obviously a guy they acquired in free agency. Kenny Stills, Michael Thomas is a second rounder. The list goes on and on. That's what I'm excited about. When I was studying up on all these Senior Bowl guys and other stuff for this episode, now I've just got that appetite, Jake, of every unknown, every little swaggy skill player who might not even go in the top 100. Ooh, could that be a Sean Payton guy? How could Sean Payton use that guy and turn him into a fantasy star in a couple years? That's what has me really excited.
Yep, just to build on those. I mean, you go to how he builds his team, especially like you said, up the middle. Man, they invested not only with these draft picks, but don't you remember the Jimmy Graham trade? They traded for Max Unger at center when they gave away Jimmy Graham. They really invested there. Even going back to like the late 2000s, early 2010s. I mean, who were those guys, Dre? Those big guards, like Carl Nix was one of them that they invested in re-signed when his contract was up. They really invested in those guards. They really invested in the center. And I mean, the proof was in the pudding, though. When you watch Drew Brees play, I mean, you could say it's about every quarterback, but pressure up the middle is what really killed Drew Brees, and it's because of his height. Mm-hmm. When you had that solid interior offensive line, he was able to really, you know, feel comfortable in the pocket and step up and do his magic there. Going back to the skill players and what you were saying, I mean, yeah, anyone that has like that flashes with some twitch, you're like, yep, this is a guy that could probably be used, or any guy who's like a potential slash player. You know, I don't know if he's a wide receiver or running back. That's a guy that Sean Payton would find a role for. So it's time to get back into those and have confidence in those guys.
Yes.
To succeed on the field, because the Broncos just straight up haven't had a play caller, a play designer to really utilize those guys in that fashion, going back to Peyton Manning and Gary Kubiak at the helm.
Right. And it's all about isolating those dynamic playmakers, putting them, doesn't really matter what position they're playing, isolate them, get them in space, let them do their thing. You know, it's just smart football. And how he's going to use Russell Wilson's going to be really interesting. Of course, the other side of the coin on building through the O-line is that then that veteran quarterback can benefit from a nice running game, which is huge. I mean, and I think we've seen it just in this season of the NFL, how much that bully ball, more old school, fundamentally sound football is still king in the NFL. It doesn't matter. The Eagles are doing that maybe in a new age package with a little more RPO and a little more QB runs. But at its core, it's a dynamic offensive line. And it's the best running team in NFL history. Or, you know, it's up there. The Niners, we grew up on Shanahan offenses. And Sean Payton's offense reminds me of that, where any running back we're going to draft on day three, it's like, oh shit, could this be like our next dude, you know? So it just fits in that. It's interesting. Evero seems to not be a DC option anymore. The early leader in the clubhouse is, I don't have it in front of me, but the
Vikings guy, right?
I was going to say the Seahawks guy. Desai. So that makes me think a little more cover three, maybe a little more length opposite Pat Sertan, more four-man rushes and more depth and rotation, because we're going to try to get there with four, and a little more versatility, athleticism at linebacker. You know, that might be addressed a little sooner rather than later. Last thing on kind of Sean Payton and looking at this hire through the lens of the draft, as a Parcells disciple, I always immediately go to the Parcells QB rules. He is not from the Ron Wolf school, the old great Packers GM who was big on drafting a quarterback every year and just using a lottery ticket that way. The way he drafted his final couple seasons in New Orleans, you would think that, because they did get some guys like Tommy Stevens out of Mississippi State. Ian Book was drafted in Peyton's final year. But aside from that, over a 10-year span, Garrett Grayson, a quarterback that Justin and I know very well, only quarterback he ever drafted in the top 100. And in this quarterback class, Jake, the guys who fit the Parcells QB rules, it's not Bryce Young, who just, of course, he's not a senior, but whatever. Bryce Young's actually graduated from what I could find. He's just short on games. It should be 30 games. So 30 starts, he's short on that. CJ Stroud ain't it. Will Levis ain't it. Anthony Richardson maybe checks one box of the entire group. I actually think he checks none. Touchdown to interception ratio doesn't fit. Career completions, games, being a senior, starts, wins. Anthony Richardson doesn't check off one Parcells rule QB box. Circle Hendon Hooker, Max Duggan. Max Duggan surprised me, because the whole background on Max Duggan is, oh, he finally started in his final year, but he had a lot of starts. You know, it was a lot of like off and on, but he did start a decent amount. Stenson Bennett, of course, and Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Who in Sean Payton's hands would be very intriguing, my friend. Jake Haener, well, I think, misses it on starts, by the way.
Really? That's my guy. You got to throw in Taysom Hill, though, when you're talking about Sean Payton and the development at quarterback, because that was another guy that was just a ball of clay coming into the NFL. And he really turned him into, I mean, a multi-position player. But I do think that there is something to these Parcells rules. I mean, obviously, he's a legend, but just looking at how a lot of these guys recently have panned out, you know, your Trey Lance types, obviously he was injured, but you know what I'm saying? And guys like, that's what makes me nervous about guys like Anthony Richardson, particularly because they don't check off enough boxes. You're just looking at tools there. Especially
like the guys like Lamar, Patrick Mahomes, say what you will, but those guys actually were Parcells rules guys. Josh Allen was in a lot of ways, but misses out because of the completion percentage, I believe. Actually, he might be off on touchdown to interception ratio as well. But the longevity has proven to be really important. And as much as even recently we've tried to ignore the one-year wonders at quarterback, those guys haven't necessarily worked out. You know, the Kylers, the Bakers, it's been more the Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, I bet you, is another Parcells rules guy, you know? And you do worry that we've gone to too far of an inflection in now, like, oh shit, Lamar, Jalen, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. We just want the toolsy balls of clay. And we're losing sight of, no, those are actually Parcells rules guys, you know?
I mean, playing quarterback's hard, man. And there's nothing that can replace the experience that comes.
Brock Purdy, another great example.
Exactly. I mean, look at Brock Purdy, to keep on with that example. Coming into the NFL, I mean, I watched him, and I mean, it was a mess at Iowa State at times, but
especially his last year.
I think kind of helped him for sure, but it kind of helped him. I mean, he's been in the shit, man. He's been in these chaotic games where he's literally the only guy that can make a play and just throwing balls up. And that poise and that calmness, confidence in the pocket that shone through in his rookie season. And it's something that I think that's one of those things that factors into the it factor, where you can't put your finger on it, but the quarterback that has it, it's that confidence, that poise, especially once they have that experience under their belt.
Yeah, and you could have said that about Josh Allen, man. Like, it was a mess at times, but the dude still found ways to win at Wyoming, where no one had really won like that in a really long time.
Yeah.
And there was always something to that, man. There was always something to that. So it's a really, really intriguing lens to look at the Broncos drafting right now. And they do have two third rounders going into this draft, pick 68 and 69. And then pick 109 early in the fourth. So it's basically three borderline top 100 picks, and then still their fifth and sixth rounders. I kind of expect a priority to be to try and move down once or twice from the third round, once or twice from that early fourth pick, get as much draft capital now and for the future as you can. I also think we may be talking about some veteran players being traded to try and get some extra draft capital, you know, and some more team-friendly contracts on the roster here.
There's going to be some level of deconstruction of the roster for sure.
And, I mean, again, this has to be more of a long-term build. You can't be too obsessed with winning next year or trying to win under a Russell Wilson
this year even.
Let's all wait and see. Let's try to build this the right way, the long-term way, not get too caught up in what you're missing right now. So what you may be missing right now is the fun of betting on the official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57, DraftKings Sportsbook, where new customers can bet just $5, get $200 in free bets instantly. That's on top of existing customers getting all the great deals DraftKings is offering right now, like stepped up same game parlays, boosts, and the pools they have going on, all the props they have for the Super Bowl. It's just amazing. No better time to jump on DraftKings Sportsbook. You're a draft nut like us. You can use that to your advantage and place some nice little draft props right now. Quentin Johnston to be the first wide receiver taken. Maybe you're a Jordan Addison guy. Maybe you're a Jackson Smith and Jigba. I heard a little buzz coming out of the shrine that Zay Flowers at plus 1200 to be the first wide receiver taken might be really nice value. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DMVR. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57. Get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details.
Also, shout out to our friends over at Jive Hive, a virtual dispensary on wheels. Jive Hive is amazing. They offer you low pricing and the convenience, privacy, and security you would want. Say you want this delivery to your job or somewhere where you need it discreetly, Jive Hive's got you covered. Or say you're at home partying, you don't want to drive and go pick up your weed. Well, Jive Hive also has you covered there. Don't drive, Jive Hive. Just visit jivehive.com, J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E.com. Get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window, and they'll be there to say hi. Head over to jivehive.com and enter your address to find out if Jive Hive can deliver to your door. Now serving in Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County. That's J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E.com.
My, oh my, we have the ultimate Breckenridge Brewery game day experience giveaway. I'm so excited that we can offer this to our listeners and all our diehards out there, because these are two insane deals. Breck has teamed up with us to give fans, two fans for Avs and Nuggets, VIP tickets, Lexus Club access, parking, and DNVR merch. Avs game is Thursday, March 9th against the Kings, section 102, row 5. Nugs giveaway, 30th of March against the Pellies. Two tickets, courtside, row 2. And that's, again, with Lexus Club access, parking pass, and free gear from DNVR for either giveaway. How to enter? Head to dnvr.com/BreckSweeps, SWEEPS, and complete the form to enter. All we need is a couple quick questions entered by you. Must be 21 or older. And links are in the show description. Winner will be selected 1 week before each game. Insane deal. I want our diehards to get in on this and try to take advantage. Please do check it out. It's amazing. So there you go. All right, Jakester. We had a lot going on this last week without any college football. Let's get into these All-Star games, though. Daniel Jeremiah went crazy on a top 50. Really interesting mock from The Athletic and Dan Brugler. But let's start here before we get into anything. How good is this draft class? Where would you rank this draft class? A question we really haven't gotten into. Yeah.
If you go back to the Pat Surtain draft class, which seemed like it was just budding with star potential, you look at this one and it's pretty underwhelming. I mean, I don't think we're in like 2013 areas of you know, lack of talent, where Tavon Austin's your first receiver, EJ Manuel's your first quarterback, stuff like that.
Eric,
but this isn't a
Luke
great
Jokel and Eric Fisher were picks 1 and 2. Yes. I mean, a disaster. Yes. Yeah.
It's not that bad, but it's not great.
Yeah, it's an intriguing class because you see this, you see like the Senior Bowl, and you start seeing some mocks that you can take a little more seriously, and some top 50s you can start taking a little more seriously. And it kind of is like, shit, yeah, we're going to be, there's not really an elite talent that checks off all the boxes that, you know, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter are going to be in the mix. There's, you know, the quarterbacks all have at least one blemish on the resume, even if it's just Bryce Young's size. There's a lot of guys who kind of underwhelmed, no one who really blew up. It's a classic, like you're only going to have 13 to 18 first round grades. The crop for the late first, early second is going to be intriguing and thick. And the top 100 picks are going to be, it's going to be a lighter top 100. You know what this class has going for them, that at premium positions, especially quarterback, especially edge, especially cornerback, to some extent, offensive tackle. It's a nice running back class as well. And wide receiver depth, we've been spoiled, so it's nowhere close to the last few years. Yeah. It's not like lacking in wide receiver depth, you know?
No, there's some guys, but it's, yeah.
It's not like defensive tackle a couple of years ago where it's like, shit, I've got three guys in my top 100, you know, like,
right.
It's slim pickings, but like my top 100 is still going to be littered with wide receivers is what I'm getting at.
Oh, for sure.
And the edge class, honestly, is doing some heavy lifting because the edge depth is nice. Senior Bowl, which we'll get into in a second, I actually thought the interior O-line class really popped. Yeah, man, I think with those premium positions, with some high upside kind of diamond in the rough guys, some of those guys pop off. We might look back at this class and be like, wow, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud turned into like legit QBs. A lot of these wide receivers are like solid starters. You got some good edges, some good corners, some good OTs. It actually was a pretty good class, you know, like there,
just feels a little potential. top heavy.
Yeah. And just kind of lacking depth and just guys who you feel like comfortable with across every tier. It's like, ah, shit, I wish I had a few more guys who checked off all the boxes, or, you know.
Right. Well, if you like the Broncos, who were potentially coming into this draft with a late first rounder, I mean, it totally makes sense when you look at why they gave away the pick, because yeah. I don't know if you can really add someone that's going to just boost this lineup on either side of the ball at that slot a tremendous amount. I mean, you could, of course, get lucky, but just in terms of prospects at this point, I'm not really encouraged by that depth at, or the level of talent around the 25 to 35 range, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Though, let's get into the Senior Bowl. It was an odd Senior Bowl because obviously the evals are happening heavily on the one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty rare year where you watch the D-line, O-line, and the wide receiver cornerback one-on-ones, which are set up for the D-line to dominate, yep. for the wide receivers to dominate. Where, gosh, I thought both the corner groups and O-line groups won the day pretty consistently, yeah. every single day in practice. Those guys,
especially the O-line, man. Woo! I mean, they were dominating.
Yeah. I mean, tons of standouts. We kind of got, if there was a group at the Senior Bowl where we kind of got spoiled, it was this one. Osiris Torrance, to me, solid as ever. Really good, man. The Florida offensive guard, a guy who, you know, we mocked to the Broncos when we did a couple mocks. He'd make a ton of sense with everything we talked about with Sean Payton, who we should also mention, from what I remember, was more of a power blocking scheme. So that's to be on the lookout for. But man, so many standout performances, especially on the interior O-line. Steve Avila out of TCU, who I think could be available at one of those Broncos third round picks, really looked good. Everyone was drooling over John Michael Schmitz, the top interior O-line for a lot of people. I thought he was solid, you know, not necessarily dominant, but solid.
Same.
Michigan center, who I think we agree was throughout the season, the best, most consistent interior line in the entire country. Mm-hmm. Solid as well. Actually, I thought he flashed nicely in the game. So those guys were really a bright spot, really played well. And, you know, I don't want to go on for 5 minutes, so I'll give you the floor. But I've got more O-line notes for sure.
Sure. I think overall the most impressive guy for me was Cody Mauch out of North Dakota State. I mean, ooh. Tremendous anchor. And was just holding guys, you know, a yard deep in his drops. I mean, he had tremendous strength. I was really impressed by the tackle, Jalen Duncan out of Maryland. Great size, but I think he really has strong hands and was putting the clamps on some guys.
Dancing Bear. Really nice in pass pro. Kind of thought he dominated day two. And then the Kansas edge. Who I'm going to find, Lonnie Phelps, who had an amazing game as well, kind of took it to him on a couple reps. But aside from that, Duncan has the upside of a great, like, pass protecting left tackle. And another guy who could be around in those 68, 69 pick, you never know. Like, could be in that range, you know.
I'm just on the national team right now. So, Daywon Jones, the Ohio State offensive tackle, I think looked nice.
Oh my God. Huge. Broke massive. Some kind of record.
Absolutely massive.
Like 36 inch arms. Just like a clown show. I think he shut it down after day one. But like in one on ones, he's just tossing people to the ground.
6 foot eight, 375 is what he measured it at. What in the world?
Insane. Will we do what we did with, is it Trent Brown who's now with the Chiefs, the former Oklahoma guy?
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the former Alabama guy, the big guy from a couple years ago. I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the big Oklahoma kid.
I know who you're talking about.
Who, you know, everyone, he had the worst combine ever because he's like a different sized specimen than anyone else. Like, he's not even he's not even a human like you and me, you know. He was insane. And Darnell Wright, the right tackle from Tennessee, looked really good, especially early. And then Will McDonald started to come around. the Iowa State edge rusher who has 35-inch mm-hmm. arms. He was the one guy who could beat Wright, and Wright struggled a bit with him. He was another guy who we talked about being mocked to the Broncos and played really well against Will Anderson, much like Osiris Torrance probably has the best tape against Jalen Carter of anyone.
Yeah. Some other guys, Curtis McClendon from UT Chattanooga, I think played well.
Yep.
I was really impressed by Tyler Steen, the interior guy from Alabama, Osiris Torrance we talked about.
Steen has some O-tackle ability. His arms were under 34 inches, but he's intriguing, kind of end of the top 100, the Alabama tackle guard, you know. Dude, how about Matthew Bergeron out of Syracuse?
Yeah, he was nice also. And then Warren McClendon, the tackle from Georgia, I thought was really good too.
And then we should mention Wanya Morris, the Oklahoma right tackle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge arms, but intriguing potential. Anton Harrison, the underclassman who declared and is projected as a first rounder, will get all the fanfare, but Morris is an intriguing developmental piece as well.
Flipping sides, Nesta Jade Silvera, the big like three tackle, one tech type guy out of Arizona State. I mean, Totri put me on him when we previewed the ASU game, and he delivered in that game, and he still looks pretty dominant. Who else stood out here? I thought Isaiah Foskey had some nice rushes around the edge.
Oh man, he disappointed me. I thought him and Andre Carter
really
were some of the big disappointing guys of this. You know, I mean, look, it's all relative. Foskey flashed. But you know, for a guy we're talking about late first, and Andre Carter was being mocked top 20 for a lot of the season. That dude might need a red shirt. Like, you know, like you look at him versus Will McDonald, we're not even talking about the same universe.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, like what we said off the top, it was O-line dominated. I mean, Derek Hall from Auburn stood out. His length stood out particularly to me.
Day one looked very nice. Yeah, power. Yeah. And he's got long ass arms too.
Mm-hmm. Byron Young, I thought, was nice at times.
Tennessee or Alabama? That was confusing as shit.
That's Alabama. Okay, yeah, good, Alabama. Good. Oh, yeah, there's two. Oh, I didn't realize.
There's two.
Well, I don't even know then. I was just looking at the video. So.
Oh, my gosh. Let's move to wide receivers, corners. I absolutely fell in love with Nathaniel Dell. Little jitterbug out of Houston. Oh, my God. Get him in Sean Payton's hands. And, you know, like just to compete with Washington and kind of be a little KJ Hamler insurance, Dell was explosive, crossing guys up like he was Allen Iverson out there. Unbelievable, man. Just fell in love with him on one-on-ones.
Yep, he was pretty fun to watch. I think the most impressive guy to me was actually Michael Wilson out of Stanford. If he could just catch the ball, man, he's got it all.
He had a nice game, bad drops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
The injuries are a major concern with him. And actually, you know, we're going to be one-on-one heavy in our analysis. We, you know, we both kept an eye on it, but I think me more than you, because you know, you got to be in Boulder and doing stuff. But the one-on-ones are going to be heavily what my analysis is based on. Yeah. But we should mention Tajay Spears out of Tulane, who had just an unbelievable bowl game against USC. He won offensive player of the practice week and got really nice reports. He's a small guy who came in a little bigger, played at about 195, came in at 205 and still looked fast and explosive. So he's a guy you'd keep an eye on. He's another injury concern. That's why I wanted to bring him up when you talked about Michael Wilson, the Stanford wide receiver, perfect possession wide receiver, with a little deceptive speed, a little Eric Decker to his game, if you will.
Oh, yeah. He can get off the line well, too. He was cooking some guys on releases.
Yep.
To that point, yeah, quarterback and running back is just so hard at these Senior Bowls. It's like the game is where you get the most, where you learn the most about those positions. But it's like, it's a college all-star game, you know. I'm not going to put too much weight in it.
Absolutely.
Anyways, back to wide receiver. Ronnie Bell kind of did his thing out there. Jaden Reed from Michigan State, I thought was really nice.
Explosive. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
Talk about your corner, bro. Come on.
I'm going to get to the corners. I'll get to the corners. I got to shout out Jonathan Mingo, though, from Ole Miss, because he is one of the only wide receivers that gave my favorite corner of the weekend fits, and that was Julius Brents out of Kansas State.
Yes.
Just super clean, quick feet, oily hips. He was, you know, kind of feisty. He's not too handsy. There are some definitely some more handsy cornerbacks in this class, but not handsy. Right. but Mingo, I mean, I think he kind of exposed him a bit because Mingo's a bigger wide receiver, really strong, isn't afraid to be physical in those first 5 yards, especially off the line. And that's where Brents lost to him in the one-on-one. So it's something to watch for when we get to DBs.
Brents, really intriguing, man, because he's one of the biggest guys at corner. He was the biggest guy at corner of the entire Senior Bowl. 6'3", 202, 33 and three-quarter inch arms, big. And if you're going to play a little more cover three, that's exactly the kind of guy you'd plug in. Physical, I agree with you, looked like one of the better guys. Kai Blue Kelly, who was getting some top 50 love out of Stanford, bit disappointing, bit underwhelmed.
Okay. Yeah.
Tyreek Stevenson, who was another top 50
I liked him.
Corner out of Miami. I know you liked him. Had some slips early, just couldn't get his footing necessarily, but then picked it up after that. He was kind of at the end Daniel Jeremiah's top 50. So a name to keep in mind for sure. And the quarterbacks definitely did not help the wideouts in some of these drills.
Not at all. Mm-mm. A lot of overthrows and just inaccurate balls. I'm kind of glad I didn't see who was throwing a lot of the balls in one-on-ones because it wasn't great.
Dude, Sidney Brown, the safety out of Illinois, Chase Brown's twin, the star running back out of Illinois. Yeah, I thought
he was there too.
He looked outstanding in coverage for a safety. Yeah. I thought he really, really played well. I thought JL Skinner, the safety out of Boise, 6'4", 211, big kid.
Super physical.
Yep. I thought he played well. I thought Christopher Smith, the Georgia safety, smaller, 5'10", 188, had some nice moments. Jamie Robinson, safety out of Florida State, won the best practice defensive player. Underwhelmed by him, and seemed to be around the ball on a lot of big plays during the game, which, you know, it's good you're around the ball. It's not great that a lot of big plays are happening on your watch, you know.
In one-on-ones, I thought he showed off his techniques, you know, quick feet and stuff like that. So I think there was something there. I mean, same with you, though. I didn't come away thinking he was the best defensive back that I saw, though.
Far from it.
That's really about it, though. I mean, I think the wide receivers really got the better of these guys. Mekhi Blackmon was there, and he was really solid all around, too. I mean, I got to throw him out. I mean, he's really polished, and I think other than Brents, he was the best cornerback I saw.
Absolutely. Terrence Tucker, little jitterbug out of Cincinnati. I hope I didn't just butcher his name.
Wide receiver?
Yeah. I thought he looked good. Mm-hmm. Christian Rodriguez looked good in the game. The Kentucky running back, we got to shout him out, or we'll hear from Kentucky UDFA, our guy. He actually gives me Tyler Algier vibes, man.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
Mm-hmm. And Jake Haener had a nice game. You know, he's a gamer. He gets stuff done. And the Kansas edge, I mentioned him earlier, Lonnie Phelps really showed up on the game. Really, really played well.
One more guy I was intrigued by.
Yes.
The Princeton wide receiver, Andre. And this is some like Greek last name. Do you know how to say this last name?
Bro, I'm the like name butcher. Iosovis, is it? Like,
that's better than I would have said it. There you go. That guy is toolsy, and I'm intrigued to see where he goes.
So day one, the big winner was Keanu Benton, the like pass rushing D tackle out of Wisconsin. He really lit it up. And Keon White, the edge, who insanely was, he's ninth on Daniel Jeremiah's board. He flashed. he didn't, you know, he merely flashed.
He that didn't wow it. Me. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned, you know, Andre Carter, Foskey being losers for me. Rashi Rice out of SMU, who was kind of in that tier of like after the big three at wide receiver, Johnston, I need to remember to say Johnston, Addison and Smith and Jigba, you know, Rashi Rice was in that tier of could he be in that mix for like, you know, Zay Flowers and these Kayson Boutte, those kind of guys to be that first wide receiver taken of that next tier. Rashi Rice, that ain't it, bro. That ain't it. Yeah, he really struggled. Yeah. So the SMU wide receiver, I think he'll be value later on, but
Payne Durham was nice at tight end in one-on-ones.
Great Purdue, catch radius. Right? Yeah. For sure. So there you go. And Zay Flowers is the big note from the Shrine game. Everyone just drooling over Zay Flowers. Jake's guy at wide receiver out of Boston College.
Dog, man.
Yeah. I mean, he just gets open, you know. He's not going to have a ton of margins. I worry he's a little Sky Moore-like. But, you know, like, he's got it going on. He's in practice. The dude just gets open.
Yeah, got the speed, got the hands. He's got the releases. You just worry about that size, like you said.
Yep, exactly. Let's get into this Daniel Jeremiah top 50.
Please.
And your biggest takeaways, my friend.
Man, Bijan Robinson up at 4.
Devin Witherspoon at 5. Boom, boom. Like right off the bat. Like, that, and we talked about Witherspoon at Breck Brew. Like that. He's getting some CB1 buzz, and there's a lot to like there. But 5th overall, holy cow.
That put it in perspective for me that, like, wow, maybe this draft class isn't as good as I really thought it was. Especially once you get down to the bottom of this top 50, where we're throwing guys like Luke Musgrave in there, Tuli Tuipulotu, who I thought was impactful, but
Hey, Musgrave, man, I gave the Mark Andrews comp last episode. You looked at me like I was crazy. I'm telling you.
I liked him. My guy Laporta was up there. He's at 46 though, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, insane. Davis Allen, who we didn't even touch on, the Clemson tight end, has made the top 50. I mean, it gets crazy at the bottom of the top 10. Keon White, 8th. Dalton Kincaid. I said first round grade for Dalton Kincaid. Like, we're a Dallas Clark comp, like, but 9th overall in this class. My God.
It's crazy, man.
That's high, son. Jordan Addison, who one of the takes coming in after I was hearing after our pod last week was that there might not be a first round, you know, like first round grade wide receiver in this class. Jordan Addison, 10th overall.
Yep, there you go. And then my guy, Zach Charbonnet at 44.
No.
I'm telling you, this guy is going to be a dog in the NFL. And DJ's one-liner at the end, overall, I love Charbonnet's 2021 tape, and he was even better in 2022, 100% exactly what happened. He was amazing last year. I'm telling you, you're going to watch him and what he did this season, and it is crazy. He is just the perfect blend of size, speed, receiving ability, running ability. He is a dog.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, another guy who could be in the Broncos range there.
For sure.
For sure. Very intriguing. Brian Brees at 43, my guy. Shocking. Yeah. But like injured all of his sophomore year. That Clemson front was not up to the hype last season, especially the second half of last year. So I think that's really intriguing. Steve Avila making that.
I know.
Top 50.
Derek Hall, also the Auburn edge at 24.
Yeah, I mean, Will McDonald's 29th.
Yeah.
Like it's not the high. Yeah, it's not the highest end talent. You know, Darnell Washington, 17th. I waxed poetic about him last episode. Love the kid, but, you know, it's like Anthony Richardson being 13th, I think, says a lot.
Yeah. Zay Flowers is at 41 there. Cody Mock at 45 also. It's just really, even our guy Tyreek Stevenson at 48, man. I mean, it's Right. Usually when you're at the Senior Bowl, there's like, outside of quarterbacks, there's usually what, like three or four top 50 guys there. And now we're looking at 10 or more maybe that were at the Senior Bowl. And I think that kind of hits the point that we're trying to make here.
Yeah, there's a lot of top 100 guys at the end of this top 50.
Yeah.
That's not dissing the guys. It's just trying to look at it from more of a universal perspective and not caught in just this year. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair assessment. Any mock takeaways?
Mock takeaways.
Trenton Simpson would have been the Broncos pick in this Dan Brugler mock at 29.
So and Will Anderson think would have been the original Broncos pick at 5th overall, too.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo. All these mocks are so heavy on edges at the end. Zach Harrison, BJ Ojulari. I kind of love it. It's another mock where Bijan Robinson's low, which we've said all along. That's one of the debates. Quentin Johnston also low. Am I off on Quentin Johnston, Jake? We'll have to wait for this wide receiver breakdown. Also, I think the pod going forward, kids, with the Broncos not having a first and second position previews, it might not be as top heavy focused. It might be more we have fun talking about our top threes and then focusing a little more on guys in that Broncos range for mm-hmm. the second half of the top 100, you know. So I do think the pod going forward will be a little more the gems we love in that 50 to 100 range, less so the top 50 guys, which is going to be fun. And yeah, I'm just excited. It's there's always endless stuff to talk about. But with Sean Payton and the All-Star games, we definitely wanted to hit on that and get any other last thoughts out. So yeah, Jake, anything else you wanted to touch on?
No, I think that we just still have a lot to learn about this draft class. And
for sure,
today kind of highlighted it. So
there you go. Love it. Always a pleasure. Thank you to DraftKings for being the presenting sponsor of this here podcast. Shout out to J Mike, who couldn't make it, but
our guy,
always a stud. And we'll be back next week. Bye.